Several months after Andy's death last August, just over a year ago, she got a mailing from Newport Academy and jumped on it. Ted Shannon, the headmaster, flew to Ohio for an alumni event, and Mara interviewed and got the job. It had seemed like fate. Newport. So much had happened here to set the course of her family's history. Maybe by coming back, Mara could find peace. But there were more pressing reasons to leave Columbus. They needed the money, and Newport Academy paid well. Besides, Mara knew she had to get Beck out of there, away from all the talk. Mara wanted to take her younger daughter away from the reputation she'd gotten in school. Mara knew she would outgrow it, that people would forget. But stealing was serious, and Beck was deeply ashamed and confused, even as she was trying to change her behavior. So Mara had grabbed the chance to come to Newport, a place she knew her kids would love once they settled in. A bonus, the school offered housing as part of the package. Beck would be starting Newport Academy as a freshman, Travis as a junior. And Carrie was who knew where. Mara knew there wasn't a chance in the world that her daughter would find that note she'd left on the door, but she'd left it anyway. Leaving Columbus without Carrie had been something like driving away without her right arm, only it hurt a lot more. "Okay, you two," she said as they drove up Memorial Boulevard, crested Bellevue Avenue, and started down the hill toward Easton's Beach. "Watch for Cliff Avenue on the right." "There, Mom," Travis said, pointing. Mara took a right, drove a short way, and then spotted the tall iron gates. A discreet sign, Newport Academy, was set into the stone post. Her stomach flipped as she realized that this was it, the start of a new life. She drove through onto a private drive lined with venerable old trees, branches interlocking overhead. Breaking into a clearing, they saw the main school building, a limestone mansion with turrets, balconies, pointed arch windows, and gargoyles, built on the tall cliff's edge, overlooking the crashing Atlantic. Spectacular, and she tried not to think of the pictures Carrie would have taken of this place. "That's the school?" Beck asked. "It is," Mara said. "It looks like a prison." "It does not," Travis said. "It looks like a castle." "I hate it," Beck said. Mara didn't speak. She just followed the road behind the main school building, the Grand Mansion, past other smaller but no less elegant houses, around an ancient sprawling copper beech tree, into a darkly wooded laurel grove. Several small outbuildings were set here, including the small brick carriage house where they would live. "This is it?" Beck asked, sounding incredulous. "Yes," Mara said. "Home sweet home." "It's tiny and dark," Beck said. "It's horrible." "It's not tiny," Mara said. "It has 3 bedrooms, 1 for each of us." "We had 4 bedrooms in our other house," Beck said. 3's not enough. You know that." "Beck, honey," she began, her throat shutting tight. "Beck," Travis said, "there aren't 5 of us anymore, only 3. Come on, you can add." "You mean subtract. Don't make it worse." Shut up," Beck said. "Why did we have to leave? What if Carrie tries to find us? How will she, Mom? Have you really thought about that, aside from leaving that lame note?" "Beck, Jesus, stop," Travis said. Yeah, Beck," Mara said. "I've thought about it just a little." "Don't be sarcastic to me." "Well, don't treat me like an idiot. If you don't think I think about Carrie, 24 hours a day?" Mara took a deep breath. "Be calm, don't lose it, be the mother." "Beck, I have tried everything and will keep trying every single way to find Carrie. I have a detective on retainer. Police forces from here to California have her description. I left word with Justin and all her friends, and I've left a forwarding message on voicemail." "Voicemail?" Beck shrieked. "Carrie's gonna find us through voicemail?" Mara threw up her hands, literally. This was like traveling with a 3-year-old. Beck was overtired, overstimulated, and exhausted from the ride and her own bad temper. "Why didn't you just leave a trail of breadcrumbs?" Beck sobbed. Travis, good boy that he was, climbed out of the car and started unloading it. Mara saw him carry the heaviest suitcases to the front door, then stand there waiting for her to unlock it. Beck clutched Carrie's portfolio of photographs. "I want Dad," Beck said. "I want Carrie." "I want them too," Mara said, turning to reach into the back seat for her hand. Beck wouldn't take it, so Maura faced front again. "I don't want to be here," Beck said. "I know, Beck," Maura said, staring at the house. Beck was right. It was doll size. Set far from the cliff, deep in the shade of oaks and maples, tall mountain laurel and rhododendron bushes, it nestled in darkness. She thought of the big, airy house they'd just left. Maura breathed salt air. Soon school would begin, a fresh start. She glanced at Beck in the rearview mirror, saw her sitting there in a knot, arms tight across her chest and the portfolio. "Ready?" she asked. "Ready, Mom," Travis said, back at the car, holding out his hand. Maura handed him the key so he could unlock the front door. "Come on," Maura said. "Let's get the cats inside. They need water."
"They need to go back to Ohio," Beck said.
Maura grabbed the two cat carriers and Beck loaded her arms with Carrie's photos, and they followed Travis into their new home.